as we looked at the theme for the convention, and again, as we entered a new year, knowing that we've all had a wide variety of experiences, testings, joys, and sorrows, as we entered the new year of 2014, I was just thinking it's by the grace of God that He had seen us through another year. Sometimes it's by the grace of God that He sustained us for another day, a week, an hour, even a moment sometimes in our times of trials and experiences. So I chose this topic, by the grace of God, and perhaps when you heard the title of our thoughts, the words may have come to you that Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, suffering death, He would be crowned with glory and honor, and that by the grace of God He should taste death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. Perhaps you thought of Galatians 1:6, He called you by His grace, or Ephesians 2:5, by grace you are saved. And there's also one that relates to what Brother Carlton was talking about, the relationship between the husband and wife. It's from 1 Peter 2:7. Again, heirs together of this grace of life. You know, just it's God's grace that we have life, that we have the intellect to understand through the Holy Spirit the portion of His plans and purposes that hadn't been revealed to us. And also that as we do these things, we realize that we can trust in Him. We've heard it expressed many times. But we've chosen as our theme today, going along with really this thread that's being woven in the convention, we've selected Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. So it's Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's really a nice statement. It's really a good scripture. But as we hear today, I'm going to say this. Spoiler alert. This is a very difficult thing to do. It's always been difficult. But I think it's paramount today. It's more difficult today because of all the distractions we have, all the things that want to bombard us with the falsehoods that are rampant in the world today. So, we realize that these words are something that we want to do, to live soberly, righteously, godly. And again, it's in this present evil world. But without Him, we can do nothing. So if you think this is what I'm going to do, we realize that you're going to get a test. You're going to get a trial. You're going to get an experience to realize that our Lord Jesus has to be the one we're leaning on. John 15, verse 5. Again, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him bringeth forth much fruit. And that's our desire. We want to bring forth that fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Of course, as you lean on Jesus, as you walk in his footsteps, you can do all these things because he's with you. We should then be encouraged by those words, as we just alluded to from Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. We have strength of character. We have to have, if we're developing the fruits and grace of the Holy Spirit. But that's not to be able to stand the darts and fiery arrows of the adversary, those fiery darts and those trials. But with our Lord and trusting in Him, we know that we can go on and do these things. Again, there's another scripture, Romans 5, verse 2. Through Jesus Christ, we have access unto this grace by faith wherein we stand. So we stand firm in this knowledge that the Heavenly Father provided His Son, this ransom price, and that we can then take up our cross and faithfully follow in His footsteps. And I know that's our heart desire. So continuing on in Titus 2, verses 13 and 14, he really holds up before us a grand consideration toward all of our ambitions and where they are to turn, and upon which our hopes center. And they should fill our hearts. And again, if you have a heart overflowing, it's going to be seen. It's going to be known. Your words are going to be blessed and pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Again, it shows where our hopes center, and they fill our hearts, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us all from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. A peculiar people. And we see immediately from this, from these words, that it's only through that grace of God and his goodwill, this unmerited love and favor toward us, that we would ever have any hope of a future life and life itself, let alone to be with the Father in the realms of glory. The divine influence acts upon us. It helps us to, again, make us pure, to have pure intentions of heart, pure motives through that shed blood of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, this great Redeemer. It should then inspire us to be morally strong. We've heard these words spoken already in this convention. So, you know, we always realize it's no accident that our thoughts run along the same line. We're like precious faith. But the theme of this convention is doing the Heavenly Father's will in adversity, brotherly love, kindness, devotion. All these things are so important. They've always been, but I just think that these are, by the grace of God, things we should be filling our minds with. So you are a special people. You realize that. Cleansed and purified. You're not striving for the things of this world, but you're setting your affections on things above. And then you, brethren, were a people that were brought back from sin and death as potential new creatures in Christ Jesus. Again, Paul's words bring that out in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I really like a comment from the pastor. He says, they are a faithful people, F-U-L-L. So if you're full of faith, if you're full of trust in the Heavenly Father, we're not discouraged, we're not downhearted. We're peculiar then in the sight of the world, who are full of complaints and misunderstandings, but you're precious in the sight of God. You have that opportunity to be heirs of the kingdom, and that's a sobering thought indeed. Just by the grace of God, we are who are speck. Brother Mike talked about standing on the seashore and looking out and realize how small we are. And as we have explored the uttermost reaches of our galaxy and the universe, we see how really small we are. But regardless, by the grace of God, he's reached down, he's touched your life. He's put your feet upon that solid rock, and he's teaching you in this wonderful school of Christ, and we want to learn those experiences. So being a faithful people. Again, if we look at that, we could use as our theme text this one from 2 Peter 3:10-11. 2 Peter 3:10-11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Again, we see that this is in the day of the Lord, it comes as a thief in the night. And again, the heavens pass away, and the elements melt with fervent heat. That time of trouble and this time in which we're living, when the church is being developed, it's selected, being developed, being put to test the faith and character development. This is the time in which we're living. Again, it is in all according to God's plans and purposes. When you see these things come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your deliverance draweth nigh. The kingdom of God is nigh at hand. That's Luke 21:28-31. We realize as we had those, Brother John said in this comment after the reading this morning, these are directed to God's faithful footstep followers. Enter into a covenant relationship with him. They responded to that call, my son, give me thine heart. And you give part of your heart or you give your whole heart. It's a wholehearted service. It has to be so. You're pressing to that mark for the prize of the high calling. And so these dear ones, we've heard it expressed before, you're watching people. You're looking at prophecies being fulfilled. You're looking at the events taking place in the world. You're guided by that word of truth. And also you have that understanding of the temporal affairs of life. And the scriptures refer to this as walking. You're walking circumspectly. You're looking around. You don't have tunnel vision. You're looking around at the circumstances. And as you do that, God helps you. He guides and directs you. And again, He helps you to not get trapped in those pitfalls that Satan is always out there ready to have for you. At the same time, the Apostle Paul exhorts us that we should, again, not be swallowed up by the cares of this world. And we can. Politics, money-getting, influence, prestige in the sight of men, and so forth. As we've been studying Hebrews, we had Esau mentioned, again, who sold his birthright for that pottage. But again, set your affections on things above. We're reminded of Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves the treasures upon this earth where the moth and rust corrupt, but where thieves would break in through to steal. But lay up treasures in heaven. Again, these incorruptible things. And what is that? That's immortality. We realize that. And no man can take that away from you. They can't give it. They can't take it away. For where your treasure is, your heart's there also. So all these things, the present earthly conditions that occupy men's minds, they absorb their energies, these are going to be dissolved because they are the pastimes of an hour. They're temporary. They'll give way in place to the better things, the new order. And we've been given a glimpse of that. Again, the social and religious matters, complete change from darkness to light, that's God's wonderful plan of the ages. And in us, we're looking at it, the eternal weight of glory, 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 4:17. You can't compare the things that we have today with that. And he's just given us a glimpse of that. And we're so thankful for that. By the grace of God, we can know him. We can call him Father. We can call each other brethren. As we had that beautiful discourse about that earlier in this convention. So again, what manner of persons ought we to be? We follow that pattern of our dear Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. We know that. But again, just knowing that is not enough. You have to put forth that effort so that the Heavenly Father, you want to serve him in all spirit and in truth. It's putting your thoughts into action, the thing that you study on. Again, it's an act of service. Because Luke 16:13 tells us, no man can serve two masters. It shows us just how narrow is that way. But straight is the gate, few there be that find it. It shows us how serious we have to take each day after we vow that consecration vow to do the Lord's will and be accepting of all the things in our life that come our way. No matter if the old man resists it. Again, we're supposed to fight steadfast to the end. Push on. Do those things. And again, as we mentioned, we should be zealous. We have that burning zeal and desire. If it was a consideration in Apostle Paul's day, when life was so much more simpler, but again, the narrow way was the same way, how much more important is it for us today? When so much has taken place, as we mentioned. Again, we're looking for the world to have that joy and peace and comfort and safety that they so much desire. They just don't know how to find it. But one day, they'll have that pure language shown to them. That great joy to all people, which we have been privileged, again, to have a glimpse of through the scriptures. And we want to spread that, the good tidings of great joy to all people. Just as the wise men said on those plains around Bethlehem. Fear not, it's great joy. It's a proclamation. But not only that, it's going to be a reality. God says these things, and again, He carries through always with what He says He will do. The Prince of Peace died to take away the sins of the world. It seems like a basic truth. Some people call that the milk. I never like to get away or leave the milk. I do want to go on and other things, but those basic doctrines, the ransom and restitution and the kingdom, those are so important to us. Those are the building blocks as we go on and mature as Christians. And when we approach somebody to witness, we have to have that milk with us. We have to have digested it to know how to present it to others. Again, we have to be living up to the divine standard in our lives. Nothing short of it is acceptable in the sight of the Heavenly Father. And then if we do these things, we can be assured by the grace of God, we will be safe. He'll protect us. He'll keep us under the shadow of His wing, under this protection of His hand. It tells us that in Proverbs 18:10, the righteous run and are safe. Proverbs 18:10 that was. There's another one in Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25. Whosoever trusteth in the Lord shall be safe. And we're supposed to use that eye of faith to guide us. We keep in mind, again, there's none righteous, no, not one. But as He protects us and He nurtures us, as a loving father would do with his children, again, from the Hebrew study, chasteneth those who correct you. He's not punishing you, but He's showing you the way to go. And what do you have to do? You have to follow that way with your loving heart and want to do those things to serve God. Because He promised, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So, again, we've heard these scriptures so many times, but by the grace of God, we have made these truths our own. We're applying them in our lives. You are bought and paid for with a price. Again, Paul wrote in Philippians 3:1, to write to you of these same things to you, for me, it's not grievous, but safe. Now, he could talk to the brethren in his writings, or when he met with them, he could discuss these things. He felt safety because he was a member of the body of Christ. And don't you feel the same way? You discuss these things. You have safety in them. You're like-minded. Rejoice in the Lord, he told them. We heard that expressed already. And again, the hymn, safe in the arms of Jesus. You can find rest and comfort, protection there. That's what we need today in this world of turmoil and everything changes. It's changing day. I'm sure when I go back home, something's going to be different. It's changing. That's the time in which we're living. But you know, God is unchangeable. He's from everlasting to everlasting. I am God. So, brethren, He wants us to dwell in His loving arms, in the arms of His dear Son. And He wants us not to be caught up in the winds of doctrine. We were talking about the windstorm. We had some high winds. Wednesday night, I would not have been able to come Wednesday night. If they would have come Thursday, they would have ground stop. A lot of trees blew down. Again, if those trees are not deeply rooted and grounded properly with that firm foundation, they're not going to withstand those winds of doctrine and this idea and that idea, and they're going to be blown over. And again, as we are desiring to partake of the things, our roots go deep. We're getting that healthy diet, the meat in due season, the water of the word of truth, which goes through our bodies. And as we do that, we share that with one another. And it's good for the body of Christ as a whole. And then we partake of the finest of the wheat. And then we can digest it and use it for our spiritual growth and development. He desires us also to be respectful, follow peace with every man, and also allow some Christian liberty there. Discussion of the truth, discussion of topics in the Scriptures, and I've had some wonderful discussions which I'm thankful to the Lord for during this convention, during the fellowship periods. Again, it's not always everything up here. It could be a comment that you hear in just a little conversation. But you trust in that. And I just always remember this story that we were in a meeting and many elders who were in the way a long time had given comments about a subject. A little sister, about 92, raised her hand. In 10 words, she summed up the whole thought that had been discussed in like 45 minutes. A child of God, desiring to do His will, having a heart and mind through the Holy Spirit to enlighten her words, it's a beautiful thing. And it also, again, she gave that out of a loving disposition. So the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Are we cheerful givers? Do not give grudgingly as some do, but you give your love, you give your devotion, because it comes out of that heart that you have. Walk honestly as in the day, Romans 13:13. And again, we know the scripture from Philippians 4:8, the things that are lovely, honest, and good report, think on those things. But if you think on them again, as I said earlier, that's not enough. You have to put them into practice. You have to be using those in service to God. We want to be active. Study the soul of thyself to prove unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let your light show so shine amongst men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not glorify Michael Balco or John Smith. No John Smiths over there. But to glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's our goal. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Seek after truth and righteousness. Search the Scriptures. Seek and what? You'll find it. And when you find it, then you can make it your own. You run for the prize. You press on to the mark. You give all diligence. You build one another up in this most holy faith. It's a blessed privilege by the grace of God to do that. To then develop the fruits and grace of the Holy Spirit, especially the one we've heard about. You know, it's patience, kindness, love, patience. In this fast-paced world, it's a lost virtue. It's lost. But amongst the brethren, it should be paramount. It should be foremost. Of course, love the most important thing. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. Give all diligence. Preach the gospel to all who have an ear to hear. And remember that, again, the Lord's with us. He has been sent to bind up the brokenhearted. He is our source of strength, comfort, and encouragement. And so again, as we do this, brethren, we have to go another step. Something so important. Hebrews 4:16. Going to the throne of grace to God to find help in time of need that we may obtain mercy. His loving mercy is there. He knows our thoughts and heart and intentions, but we know He wants us to express it to Him. He wants us to lean on Him. He wants us to ask for His will to be done in our lives. Again, we should never rely on our own selves, but we can rely on the Heavenly Father's guidance and direction, His beloved Son, in all matters of daily life. Great or small, nothing is too great or too small to take to the Lord in prayer. Again, cast your care upon Him. He careth for you. And He does. And so He wants us to have an active prayer life. Sometimes it's a prayer of thanksgiving. You know, we're thankful we arrived here safely. We're partaking of this wonderful feast of fat things, Psalm 103, verses 1-3. Expression of emotion, blessed be the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. This psalm again, the psalm is, of course, I know Brother Obi loves the psalms because he's a musician. He loves music, and it's expression out of the heart. Glory for God, praise to God. Exhorts us to do so also. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. He's the Father of wonderful mercy. Again, give thanks. Ephesians 5:20. Always in all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, 2 Corinthians 9:15, thank be unto God for that unspeakable gift. We thank Him for all of our life's experiences. Prayer could be confession. Have mercy upon me. I have done something wrong. And again, He wants us to have this leaning on Him, this trusting in Him, to be constantly in that position of prayer. Not asking Him constantly for forgiveness, but for guidance and direction to do better the next time, to do better today, this moment, this hour, to press on, because He's nigh unto them to have that contrite heart, that sincere sorrow for sin. We know that scripture, Psalm 34:18. And prayer is submission. Not my will, Paul says, but thine be done. He's taking up from what the Lord Jesus had expressed, that the will of the Lord would be done, Acts 21:14. And also the psalmist David, he invites the Lord to search me and know my heart, Psalm 139:23. And also Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my God, my strength and my Redeemer. So by the grace of God, we have access to Him. Let's use that. And at the same time, again, there is more. This is the narrow way. This is a way of pitfalls, shortcomings, and weaknesses that we're striving to rid ourselves of. And He tells us in the Revised Version, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from every form of evil. And as we just said, the spirit of the sound mind should guide us in that direction. And then even more, anything that has the appearance of evil, we're supposed to stay away from. Not an easy thing to do today. Never has been, but again, with so much evil and influence and denying that there's a God, and everything, every kind of imagination known to man is coming out, we realize that we have to keep going, to press on, to have that effectual, fervent prayer to God, that heartfelt prayer to Him, to have, again, for healing, not physical healing, as it says in James 5:16, is there any among you afflicted, suffering for righteousness' sake? Let him pray. Is there any in need of mercy? Let him rejoice. Is any sick among you? We realize all fall short of the glory of God. There's something in our characters that we can improve. Spiritual healing. That comes from this Greek word, camo, I'm Ukrainian, I don't pronounce the word, Greek words very well. But to labor, suffer from fatigue, weary in mind. Again, we all realize we study it. Our mind can be our special battleground. But we want to rely on that mind of Christ, the new mind. And we want to remember the importance of preaching Christ Jesus and what? And Him crucified. Philippians 1:18. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Again, that's Philippians 1:18. It refers back to that, let your light so shine among men. Again, they see your good works, they glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. And these should then Help us to go on, to lead a life of faithfulness, love, devotion, compassion, and understanding. Be thou faithful unto death, I'll give you that crown of life. Revelation 2:10. And again, we trust in him in all things, that he leads us and guides and directs us in these things. Because as our Lord was speaking of, and again, when our Lord was on the scene, he spoke to those about him, and there were witnesses. You know, Paul says, we're not following cunning divine fables. We're following that word that we got directly from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. So as witnesses in our own lives to the Word of God, we have to put forth this song of praise in our heart. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that through your grace I'm here today. I'm still having an opportunity to run for the prize, to develop, to grow. And again, to realize that we have been told wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 4:7. The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. Again, the wisdom from above. Pure. It's teachable. It's easily entreated. These are the things we want to have in our lives. And by the grace of God, we can understand them. And we realize the key to it all is the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, the understanding of them. So just to recap briefly as we go on, three main points. The careful continual study of God's plan or Holy Word, which he has hid from the wise but revealed them unto babes. We're preaching Christ Jesus, as we said. The importance of the leading, guidance, and direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Again, that we want to do that through our hearts and minds, and also having that enthusiastic zeal for its accomplishments, being zealous of those good works, again back in Titus 2:14. We realize that we have to press on. We have to use these things, these three points, to concentrate our energies through the illumination of our hearts and minds to those things which we do best to lead us to perfection beyond the veil. We want to strive to be faithful in all things. Again, realizing that by the grace of God, we are bought and paid for with that price. The greatest gift ever given. Oh, just a few words, but look at the meaning of them. To be partakers of the heavenly calling, to have an opportunity, as it said in Hebrews 3:1, to partake of these things. Again, as the church is complete, it's the opportunity for the Heavenly Father's divine character to be shown to the world of mankind, and no more hatred and envy and strife and confusion and war and cities being like over there. I saw people on TV, children in Syria. They're gathering weeds to eat. Weeds growing amongst the rubble. That's all they had to eat. Little tiny children, like our little grandchildren we have here. Oh, it just fills your heart with grief. But we know that these things will be done away with. Done away with. And the Father will have that kingdom of love developed on this earth, and all the willing and obedient will be able to dwell in that kingdom forever. And those scenes that we see of degradation, sorrow, destruction, death will be gone forever. And it leads to that wonderful restitution of all things promised in Acts 3:19-21. So let us strive to go on. And let us always keep in mind Jesus' humility and then exaltation from Philippians 2:5. That might be in you. Again, it was also in Christ Jesus, which we have alluded to. But you have to focus on Jesus and what he endured and what he suffered that we could even be here today and have any hope for life in the future, as we've mentioned. And we want to strive to please God because it says in 2 Timothy 2:11-12, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. We want to go on realizing again this wonderful gift and have that sincerity of heart love for the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Full of grace and truth, it said in John 1:14. And he still is. And so as we go on, we want to be transformed daily by the renewing of our mind. And through the grace of God, we can do that if we put our trust in him in all things. Because we're looking at that time again when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:9-11. And again, as we do these things, as we go on, we're gaining in Christ Jesus. We're less of self. Paul looked, I see through a glass darkly and then face to face. As you, my own interpretation of that, when you first are called, you looked in that glass, you see yourself. I know there's other understandings. But eventually, as you look in that mirror, you should see more and more of the Lord Savior Christ Jesus. Because your character is being transformed. And when you reach that final mark of perfect love, the transformation is complete. And you enter in the joys of the Lord. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss for Christ. Again, Philippians 3:7. We want to develop. We want to preach that word. We want to be instant in season. We want to exhort one another, comfort, uplift one another with all long suffering and doctrine. Again, seek and you shall find. Study. Apply. Study more. Apply more. Brother Comey knows that. When he gives things to his students, there's going to be a test. And if they're not looking up that information and looking at how it's going to be applied, they're going to fail that test. We're in the school of Christ too. And as we do these things, we want to go about and we want to stand firm, brethren, stand firm. Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, but let us walk by that same rule. Let us mind that same thing. Brother Obi gave us some wonderful thoughts about that. Apostle Paul, I have not yet attained. He went through the facets and how this Paul had done so many things. But still, in all those experiences, he was looking for more ways to please God, more ways to serve him, more ways to encourage the brethren. Again, we have to live soberly in this life with a mind focused on the things above. This grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us again that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we live soberly and godly. We want to walk humbly with God, thanking him just with this wonderful humbleness for the things he has provided for us. And also, brethren, as we close our thoughts, we are reminded that we have an advocate. He's there. He's interested. And again, he's interceded for us. And he gives us his love, his peace, his help in time of need. These are special favors that come from God. They're given to his royal own. To us for who believe, it says. Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2:1. Again, he desired us, our Lord desired his footsteps followers to separate themselves from the cares of this world. Again, you're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. For I have chosen you out of the world, John 15:16. The Heavenly Father has separated you from the world by the divine call and its spiritual ghetto. Give me your heart, follow my ways, walk in my footsteps. I'll go the way to prepare a place for you ahead. And so, brethren, let us seek the Lord with all sincerity, honesty, without guile, without selfishness. And we know that's what happened in the world today. Bring forth fruit. It refers to the fruits of the Spirit manifested in the things we mentioned in Galatians 5:22-23. Temperance, meekness, gentleness, gentleness. I just like the word gentleness. Do you think doesn't it soothe you? Gentleness. The gentleness of God. The patience, long-suffering, brotherly kindness, and love. And brethren, as we close our thoughts, all things that we are, all things that we have, all things that we hope for are by the grace of God. You are called by His grace. May the Lord add His blessing.